Although we're not going to be working our way through that passage in Colossians, it'll be good to have it open to start with, at least. And don't worry if you're referring to a number of scriptures this morning. Don't feel the need to look all of them up. If it's easier just to listen, then do that. Where were you when you heard the news? How did you react? Everyone knew that this moment would come, this sad moment, but it was still a shock when it happened. Queen Elizabeth II had died. Most of us had never known a time without the Queen as our head of state. She was the figurehead of our national life for over 70 years. Without doubt, this is a moment of great significance in the life of our nation. It's a moment to ponder, and it resonates around the world. She was a figure of great prominence across the world. Whatever your view of the monarchy, the Queen was a symbol of stability, a continuing presence who somehow connected us with times long gone. It was what a week it has been. The last week, start a new week today, but what a week that was. It was already a significant week with the appointment of Liz Truss as Prime Minister on Tuesday, but only 2 days later came the death of the Queen and the accession of King Charles III. Well, the Bible calls for us to understand the times in which we live, to ponder the path of history. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, mentions some leaders in Israel who had understanding of the times. And Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day because they couldn't discern the signs of the times, Matthew 16, verse 3. And we need to ask God for discerning minds as his people to understand the times in which we live. Now, God has given us an infallible guide for interpreting history. It's his book, the Bible. This book was presented to the Queen at her coronation in 1953 as the most valuable thing that this world affords. Well, why is it so valuable? Well, it's because it's God's message to us. And fundamentally, it's a message of hope, a message of hope. We need to see events in our world and in our nation through a Bible lens, not just through the lens of the media. How does the Bible speak to our situation? What does God have to say? Well, no, the Bible doesn't predict the specific history of the United Kingdom. You won't find the United Kingdom specifically mentioned in the Bible. But it does tell us the general direction of history. And the Bible presents history as the unfolding of God's purposes for the world. God is still at work, and in that there is hope. My theme this morning is this: our unshakable hope. Our unshakable hope, a hope that can't be shaken. As we live through these times, we need to steady our minds as Christians by remembering where our hope is. And if you aren't a Christian, well, you need this hope. You need to get and to have this hope. The first thing I want you to get hold of this morning is this: Jesus is our only sure and lasting hope. Jesus is our only sure and lasting hope. The Apostle Paul thanked God for the Christians that he was writing to in Colossae, that's church in Colossae. He hadn't ever met most of these people, but he'd heard of their faith in Jesus Christ and the love that they had for one another. And so he writes on behalf of himself and Timothy, his co-worker, Colossians 1, verses 3 to 4, he says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit." Why did Paul thank God for these people? Verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Where had they found this hope? It was in the word of truth, the gospel. These people had once lived just like those around them, worshipping idols, following different kinds of ideas and experiences, but they hadn't found true hope. True hope only came when they heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. There's only one true and reliable source of hope for you and for me, for this nation, for the whole world. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there is no hope for us. Why? Well, it's because we're sinners. We've rebelled against the God who made us. We've gone our own way. We've lived to please ourselves. As Paul tells the Colossians in this chapter, verse 21, he says to the Colossians, "You were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." Not inflation, not high gas prices, not political instability, or the death of a queen. Sin is our biggest problem. But here is the wonderful truth if you're a Christian this morning. What Paul said to the Colossians is true of you. You have been rescued by God. Colossians 1, verses 13 to 14, Paul says this, "He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." If you're a Christian this morning, you have been freed from the rule of darkness, from the oppressive power of sin and of Satan, and God has brought you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Our citizenship has changed as Christians. We're no longer Satan's subjects. Our King is Jesus Christ. And what a powerful and kind and gracious King he is. The power of the Lord Jesus isn't just theoretical or symbolic power. He has the actual power to save us. How? Through his death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later. Jesus has defeated sin and death. He's opened up the way to never-ending life. Here is true and lasting hope. Is this your hope? Well, some things that the Queen said suggest that it was her hope. In her Christmas message in 2011, she said this, "God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships and it can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love." Those are the words of the Queen. Jesus is our true hope. Real hope comes from resting in the certainty that what the Lord Jesus has begun, he will finish. The best is yet to come for the Christian, and we need to hold on to this hope. It's this that will keep our thinking on the right track, will stop us being blown off course in our thinking. But I want to point out some ways now in which this hope helps us in these present times. Just a few ways. Jesus is our hope in times of loss. Jesus is our hope in times of loss. At present, there's a sense of loss in our nation. The Queen, who had been a feature of British life for longer than most of us can remember, has been taken away from us. Oh, we should beware being just swept along on a wave of public emotion shaped by the media. And yet there is an appropriate mourning that the Bible speaks of. Wise King Solomon wrote these words, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Solomon says this, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." We're right to mourn the loss of a queen who displayed many admirable qualities, and to thank God for the degree to which she was a good example to this nation, for the blessing of stability, for her cheerful service, for occasions when she reminded us of our need for faith in God. The passing of the Queen brings home to us the sad reality of death. No one, no matter how high up, can avoid their time to die. Death brings sorrow. We feel it, of course, far more deeply when it's someone very close and dear to us. We should thank God for the gifts of family and friends, for leaders who bring us a level of stability. But we must not look to those things for our ultimate peace and security. Psalm 146, verse 3 says this. Verse 3 and following says, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners." So as we're reminded of the reality of death yet again, we need to cling more closely to Jesus Christ, to go on trusting him, to know that he is our Saviour. Our true hope is in the Lord alone. Jesus is our hope in times of loss. Jesus is also our hope in times of change. He's our hope in times of change. What immense changes there were during the Queen's reign. There are a few of us who can remember the time before she began to reign and can remember the changes that there have been. For most of us, we've come in partway through her reign. When the Queen's reign began, this country was still recovering from World War II. Most people didn't own a phone, not even a landline at home. They had to go to a public call box if they wanted to make a phone call. The Queen's coronation was the first time that many people watched TV. They would have to go to someone who had one of the few people who had one, or go to a shop and watch the coronation there. Queen's reign saw the start of jet air travel. We take it for granted that we can just hop in a plane and travel between continents today. That wasn't anywhere like as easy when the Queen began to reign. Her reign saw the launch of the first space satellite, saw the moon landings, the development of microelectronics, the silicon chip, the IT revolution that we have computers now that are so throughout our society, the internet, the World Wide Web, and smartphones, of course. Britain became much more diverse as people from many other countries made their homes here and had children and grandchildren. Standards of living for many in terms of the home comforts that we have and the amount of disposable income, of money that we have to spend, of leisure time and so on, they increased for many, not for everyone, but for many. And meanwhile, Britain's power and standing in the world was much reduced from what it had been. But amidst all this change, one thing remained constant: the Queen. Her presence gave many a sense of comfort and stability. Now she too has gone. There's a new king. What will he be like? Will the monarchy itself survive? Should it continue? Will the United Kingdom break up? These are the kinds of questions that people are asking today. There's no doubt that we are living in times of change, and change can be very unsettling. Some people cling to tradition as their source of stability, and time-honored human traditions are talked about in reverential terms. Well, there can be good traditions, it can be right to have traditions, but Christians should be different. Yes, we may enjoy colourful pageantry and appreciate moving music, but we must avoid getting things out of proportion. Our hope is not in treasured national traditions, but in Jesus Christ. Times of change remind us that there is nothing permanent in this world. We should hold the things of this world lightly. So the writer to the Hebrews says, Hebrews 13, verse 14, says this: "Here we, God's people, have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." Yes, it's true. We are citizens or residents in the United Kingdom. God has given us a part to play in this society. We need to pray for this society, to work for its good. But our real home is God's presence. It's in God's presence. Our true citizenship is in heaven. The United Kingdom is not a lasting kingdom. The kingdom of God is. It's the kingdom of God that will grow, as Daniel saw, into a great mountain that filled the whole earth. Hebrews 13, verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our stability." Jesus gives us hope in times of loss and in times of change. But then also, Jesus is our hope in threatening times. Jesus is our hope in threatening times. Many events have shaken our nation in the 21st century. The 9/11 attacks, London bombings, wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq, the financial crisis of 2008, the increasing and all-pervasive fear of climate change and global warming, the rise of China as a new superpower, very recently, coronavirus, war in Ukraine, soaring gas and electricity prices, and now the death of the Queen. Who knows what the future holds? Well, we can be thankful that God does. God does. The Bible shows us how to understand such events. not every detail, but the general direction of things. Jesus said to his disciples who were troubled about the future, Luke 21, verses 9 to 11, this is what Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us, "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." Such things are warnings from God. God is shaking our nation and the other nations of the world. These things are God's wake-up calls. This is a world facing God's judgment. The present order of things will one day be gone. God's sirens are sounding loud and clear. Time is running out. Take cover. As some of you can remember air raid sirens during the war, and you had to go into that Anderson shelter in the garden or wherever it was you sheltered. But God's sirens are sounding today. God's wake-up calls. Time is running out for this nation and for this world. Will you lay hold of hope before it's too late? Believe in Jesus today. Ask God to forgive you your sins. Well, as Christians, just like those disciples, perhaps feeling a bit fearful, unsettled, troubled by events, that's very natural for us as people. But as Christians, we don't need to be afraid. Jesus is our unshakable hope. Such events that we see in the world around us should remind us of our hope. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus continued in what he said to those disciples, Luke 21, verses 25 to 28. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of the nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Jesus is our hope in threatening times. We're to look up as God's people. He is coming again. It seems a long time, but with God, it's a short time. He is coming again. Jesus is our hope in threatening times. But there's another very closely related comfort for us this morning. Jesus is our hope in times of growing wickedness. Jesus is our hope in times of growing wickedness. We live in threatening times, not just politically or environmentally, but spiritually. Times of growing wickedness. These are times of increasing wickedness. There's a growing climate of hostility to the gospel. People are opposed to the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a growing intolerance towards those who believe in Jesus and towards the message of the Lord Jesus as our one hope, as the one hope for all of humanity. Our hope is under direct attack. And again, this should be no surprise to us who know the Bible. Jesus said, John 3, verse 19, "The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." Well, during the Queen's reign, and some of you have observed this yourselves, during the Queen's reign, there was an accelerating moral and spiritual decline in our nation. In the 1960s and 70s, divorce rates rocketed. And now many people don't bother with marriage at all. In 2021, for the first time, more babies were born in the UK outside marriage than to married couples. It was only in 1978 that it rose above 1 in 10. So this is a dramatic change in the way that our society is. Many laws have been made that go directly against God's law. Since the 1967 Abortion Act, nearly 10 million unborn children have been legally murdered. That's more than the population of London. The legal definition of marriage in the UK has been changed away from God's definition of marriage, of one man and one woman for life. Laws have been made which reject the Bible truth that God made us male and female. Laws in Scotland and Wales ban parents from disciplining their children according to the Bible. Throughout the Queen's reign, these things have accumulated. And throughout her reign, the theory of evolution has been taught almost universally in schools and universities as fact. Acknowledgement of God has been confined at best to assemblies and RE lessons, where the Christian faith is often presented as just one among many valid ways. Well, it's no surprise that almost half the population now say that they are atheist or have no religion. Well, the fruits of all this are seen in growing lawlessness, especially among young people. Authority is despised. There's increasing violence, drug taking, casual sex, pervasive pornography. There is a terrible physical cruelty, sadly, and sexual abuse that goes on behind closed doors. The current spiritual state of our nation is dreadful, and it's getting worse. Even organizations that claim to be Christian churches are taking on board many of the trends of wider society, refusing to stand on what the Bible says and to proclaim clearly the message of hope in Christ alone. And yet, still, God is patient. He is sending out his message of hope. The good news of Jesus Christ is as true as ever. This message, praise God, is still being proclaimed, still being believed, even in 21st century Britain, which is one of the most hardened places against the gospel in the world. Despite all our heritage and God's blessing in the past and having had the Bible in our own language for hundreds of years, we are one of the most hard-hearted nations on earth. But this message is still the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And as the darkness grows, then the light shines. And we are God's light. As God's people in this world, we should not lose heart. There is no reason to despair. Jesus Christ is still our hope. He is on his throne. He is in control. And we need to go on living out and proclaiming his message of hope. He has the power even to turn this whole society around again. We should not be despondent. We don't know what his purposes are for this nation. He may take us far lower. We have no right that he should make sweeping changes back in the right direction. We don't know, but we can pray and we can work and we can live to his glory. Jesus is our hope in times of loss, times of change, threatening times, and times of growing wickedness. Jesus is our unshakable hope. The last thing I want to say this morning is this. hope in Jesus will be fulfilled. Many of us are aware of disappointed hopes, but hope in Jesus will be fulfilled. There's no doubt in this hope. We may, in our weakness, doubt, but there is no reason to doubt. This hope is certain and sure. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:16. One day every knee will bow before him, Philippians 2 verse 10. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, from the greatest monarch to the most unnoticed ordinary person. Don't give up your hope in him. The Colossian Christians that Paul was writing to were under pressure. Paul was concerned for them that they wouldn't be, in verse 23, moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. And so Paul wrestled, he struggled, he labored in prayer for them in chapter 2, verse 1. And he longed that they be encouraged, that their hearts be knit together in love, that they would attain to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he said, I say these things lest anyone deceive you with persuasive words. So many things are trying to deflect us from our hope in Christ. The pressures of a godless society. We're such a minority in terms of our worldview. It's hard to swim against the tide, to go against the grain. But don't give up your hope in Christ. It's not some new hope that we need. It's not some adjusted hope. Christ plus something else, some new experience, Christ modified to fit the fashions of our current society. It's Christ as he always has been, as he will be forever. Paul says to these Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, as you therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Don't look anywhere else for your hope. It's Jesus alone that you need. Go on looking to him. Hebrews 12. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12, verse 28. We have been saved by Jesus. We are being saved, and we will be saved in the end. Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Goes on to say, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Peter says, 1 Peter 1 verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get your minds ready for action. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hang on to this hope. Wear the helmet of salvation. Jesus gives us a sure hope, a hope that will most certainly be fulfilled. Jesus said to his disciples, John 14, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." As Christians, we need not fear the present or the future. Yes, we're weak and we naturally do fear, but we need not fear the present or the future. For us, even death is just part of our pathway to eternal joy. One day we will enjoy our resurrection bodies on an earth made new. We will be in the presence of our Saviour, living to His glory, enjoying Him forever. Well, even King David in Old Testament Israel had this hope. He looked forward to God's Messiah hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And he said in Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.